Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Which are pretty rad, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
So I wanted to talk to you about this kind of interesting thing about our dad, which is that, as you know, Jonah, our dad has told us since we were little that he is the first Todd, meaning the first person ever to have Todd as their first name. He maintains that before he was named Todd, it was a last name like Carson or something, and that his parents were the first ones to decide to use it as a first name, and that anybody who's older than him who goes by the name Todd is probably really named Theodore or something, but they just started calling themselves Todd after he was born.
Yes, I'm very familiar with this. I feel like we've done some research over the years. Todd, yes. Rundgren, famous Todd, is younger than our dad.
Yes.
So that checks out.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones' real first name, I think, is Todd, but he doesn't count.
I think it's not his first name, though. I think there's a Todd in James Earl Jones' name.
But that probably wouldn't count because he doesn't go by Todd anyways.
Right.
I mean, there's a few different kind of sub-rules to I feel like, our dad's belief.
First of all, do you believe it?
I didn't believe it at first, but it reminds me of like a lot of stuff our dad has told us over the years that I didn't believe at first that ended up being true.
Yeah, like Esperanto. We'll get into that another day.
Yeah, we can talk about this another day. But yeah, our dad told us there was a universal language and we didn't believe it. And it turned out to be true. So, I mean, someone has to be the first Todd. So I think it's...
Yeah.
I've never met a Todd older than our dad. I think it's possible. It sounds made up, but someone has to, it has to be someone.
Right. Well, I just want to say that I don't know how much you reference it in daily life, but I did a thing, particularly during college, where whenever I would meet people named Todd, I would go, "Did you know you're named after my dad?" And it didn't always go great, I have to say.
People were confused a little.
Yeah.
Well, your production company is named, what is it?
Yeah. It's named The First Todd.
Yeah.
Just so whether or not I believe it, and the truth is, I do think our grandparents had an independent thought to name him Todd. I will defend it forever because it's so important to him.
Yeah, I think he's the first Todd. I think if someone's listening to this and they wanted to like do some research and maybe they could find something, but it's also like leave it alone. Like,
yeah. Also, be cool. Don't do that research. Like, just act like a cool person.
Yeah, like go outside or something, you know? It's beautiful.
Get some fresh air, you jerk.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of jerks, I'm kidding. I'm fully kidding. This is one of the best people in the world. This is one of my... Okay, I'm introducing our guest, by the way, Jonah. I didn't know if you knew that.
Yep, I knew it.
With a great segue. Okay, we are so lucky to have one of my close friends. He's an actor. He's a writer. I'd call him a singer. He's just a true talent and such a joy. Please welcome my friend and yours, Beck Bennett.
Hello. I'm a singer.
Yeah, you're a singer.
I can't help it. Guys, it's so great to be on the pod, as they say. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here, Beck.
I love that discussion about the first Todd. You guys were just criticizing people for researching. When you were talking about it, I immediately looked up, like, as if this was going to do something, where the hot toddy came from. As if that was going to give me some insight into the name Todd. But it has nothing to do with the name Todd.
Where did it come from?
Tad, Taddy. I think it's T-A-D-D-Y, like something about sap or something like that. So
Got
it's
it.
Not the name Todd, but I was that person who immediately started researching.
No, but you were doing it from a pure of heart way. Like,
yes.
I feel like people, we're telling people who are doing it out of a, like, I'm going to, you know, ruin their dad's dreams of being the first Todd. Like, those are the people that we want to avoid.
I was actually doing it in support of your dream.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted him to be the first Todd. I love
exactly.
that. I love that idea that he's the first Todd.
Do you believe it? It's okay. You can be honest with us.
I don't know if it's like a belief in truth, but when I hear this, and I don't know if it's just because I'm biased because I love you guys, but I'm like, I think he could be. It sounds right.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was a name, but yeah, he was the first one to be with the first name Todd.
Yeah.
For that to be named Todd. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody else is saying it. So
yeah, nobody else is really claiming it. So it's like,
and also, yeah, if you do this here, if you put it out there enough, you might get a Todd, another Todd to come forward, or somebody else to come forward and be like, my dad was the first Todd. And then you can talk to them about that.
Right.
And you can maybe figure this out. You know what I mean?
Right.
This is... we're in like a bit of a Todd bubble with just our dad
weighing
in.
Exactly. You're in a Todd bubble and you gotta pop that Todd bubble.
Yeah. Our dad and anyone who I told was named after him who immediately got offended.
You guys, I gotta say, this is immediate. Not that I've done a bunch of podcasts, but this is immediately the sweetest podcast I've ever been on. I feel very comfortable to be here.
Well, Beck, we are so happy that you're here. It's just so fun. Now, Beck, Jonah brought something up to me earlier this week about your name.
Yeah.
And we have a... Did things change for you significantly when Beck became a popular musician?
It did. I remember, I think in seventh grade, huge, loser, huge. And that didn't do bad things for me. People didn't go around calling me a loser.
Good, singing the song
in my face, which was great. That could have been bad. He gave me a cassette, like the tape of it for my birthday when it came out. And then I fell in love with it. And I do love his music.
Yeah.
But I can't tell how much of that was like, there's another Beck. He's a rock star. And I love his music because of that. So it kind of became part of my identity that I liked Beck.
Wait, who gave you the tape?
Josh Booyah Bruin.
Wow.
I still don't know if that's his real middle name or if that's like his nickname that he like said was his middle name, but he went by Joshua Booyah Bruin. I still don't know if it's his actual name or not.
I bet Booyah is, well, who knows?
Yeah.
It's just...
He could be the first person with the middle name Booyah.
Booyah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Booyah's a good name. Booyah. Wait, what does that mean? Like the slang Booyah? Does it mean like, hell yeah, Booyah?
Yeah, it's kind of it means like hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Right? That's what's up. Booyah.
It's like hell yeah, but you mean it so much. It's like the hell yeah to the like times 10 is booyah.
Hell yeah, times 10 is booyah.
So were you a fan? Did you follow his career kind of throughout?
I did. And like I got a book, not that that's a big deal. It was like a book about like how he changed as an artist from record to record. And I loved that about him too. I like saw him as an artist, as like not just a musician. And then I think around, I want to say maybe Sea Change was the last album that made an impact on me. I think it was like up through high school. And then after that, I started to fall off a little bit, but.
Yeah, I was the same. I kind of stopped after that. Although, you know, I did, when he played SNL, I went because Father John Misty was in his backing band for that taping, which was cool. And I got to meet him during like the rehearsals. I was excited about that. But yeah, I haven't really followed his music as much since Sea Change.
I think I took a picture of you with him back.
You did.
At SNL.
He was like one of the few people like I went to, I've watched like a lot of rehearsals on Thursday, but watched him on Thursday and was like, I think I was crying because it was like my second year maybe, or like, I think it was, or maybe my first, it was early on. And I was like, I can't believe, like, he was like the first musician I loved. So to see him, and he was playing like really like deep, emotional, slow songs. And I was standing back there and being like, I can't believe this is happening. And I like cried.
So
and then like,
nice.
And then, yeah. And then somebody introduced me to him. I forget who, maybe you. Was it you?
It was probably me.
Probably you. You're kind of a music head.
I remember, us being by the page desk where all that happened. Yeah, yeah.
And it was maybe you, I don't know, somebody was like, Beck, this is Beck, he's a big fan, and we talked for a little bit, and then that was it. But it was a really great moment.
That's so nice. And is that the only other person you've ever met who's named Beck?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and also, he's Beck Hansen. That was his first name, right? Official first name. My middle name is Beck. It's my mom's maiden name.
Right.
And my first name is Christopher, and they just never called me Christopher.
I always forget that your first name is Christopher because you seem so much more like a Beck than a Christopher.
I grew into my name.
Yeah. And his first name is Beck?
I think so. Yeah.
So maybe he's the first Beck. Honor for you to be named after him, which I know you technically weren't, but as according to the logic that I've given people, anyone who's born even 6 months after you is named after you after if you're the first one.
Yeah, I was named after him, and it's an absolute honor. I feel like I just had another funny SNL story of something else, but it escapes me now.
We had a lot of fun there, and
we had so much fun there. How many years did we overlap? Five?
We overlapped
four.
4 years, I think. Because did you just finish your eighth season?
Yeah.
Back. Wow.
Crazy, right?
You've outlasted, I was going to say the master.
I've outlasted the master, Vanessa Bayer.
I was there for seven.
You were there for seven. Now I'm more important than you.
Yeah, now you're more important. It's like when...
I higher status.
It's like when we were little, Jonah said because he was 2 years older than me, our mom and dad had two more things of love for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Two more things? Just things?
I didn't have an actual unit. Yeah,
not
just
years?
Things.
You didn't have
no,
a unit of
I don't know. The logic made sense to me at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like things.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I have one more thing of SNL than you. I have one more thing of Lauren's love than you.
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah,
that's it. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Beck, speaking of like seventh grade, when you discover Beck, I mean, and SNL, like it seems like you and Kyle play so many of these like adolescent boy kind of characters. I mean, do you find, I think like Vanessa too, like, and me, like find that period of life so funny. I mean, is that fun for you? Like what kind of draws you to like that period of growing up, I guess?
Well, like, I guess I'm trying to think of like some of the characters, some of the nostalgia stuff. It's like, I mean, there's like initially, like we've done a lot of like sitcom-y sort of sketches, and that comes from like definitely TGIF and like sort of those types of things and old kids movies. I mean, I think there's a lot there that we would watch and just find the bad acting and like the kids trying to like express ideas or feelings that they clearly don't understand or own. And it's like, that disconnect is really funny. I also think that like that whatever age it is, like that pure excitement, and this is like, you know, it's a different thing, but kids being like, yeah, and it's just like so just like sugar high stuff, like kids spazzing out and just being like, this is awesome. Yes. Oh my God, this is so cool. Like that sort of stuff, or like getting so upset and throwing temper tantrums and like losing control of their bodies and minds. I mean, both of those are like my immediate attractions to that like time period and playing characters like that. And so they're kind of two different things. One is like fully, you know, a kid being in their body and being so emotional and so excited or so upset. And the other one is like kids like trying to be adults and not understanding it, but saying it anyway. You know what I mean? And it's like one is very connected to the emotional experience and one is fully separated. So those are kind of like my immediate connections to making fun of that period, I think.
That's so great.
Yeah. And with the sitcoms, like I feel like all the audience noise, like the laugh tracks, the oohs and ahs is so, that also sounds so weird today.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because we don't have shows with laugh tracks anymore.
Not really. Yeah. And also like that interstitial like music where it's like so jarring. It's like electric guitar, like so loud. And you're like, yes. Whoa. Like,
where? What was that choice? Yeah. You go back and watch and it's like. Okay. Could have just had something more generic. It doesn't need to take center stage. We don't need to be commenting on the interlude music and how great it was. And it doesn't need to be upstaging the characters and the story. But yeah, it does feel, I think that's one of the things we like to do with those sketches. It just feels so surreal to watch those old shows and hear the gasps and like the laughter.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, who, what is this world that they're in? It just feels like a dream. And like back then, it was so natural to hear all those sounds. You know, back then it would be, and I think even now to see like a full soundstage set and seeing those characters interacting with silence would probably be even more surreal.
Yeah.
You know, with nothing.
Totally.
Which is something I feel like we never really did, but that would be funny to experiment with and just like take the laugh track out of the things that we did.
What were some of your favorites?
Of those like types of those sitcom sketches?
Yeah, like from that era kind of shows.
I mean, the first one we did with Andrew Garfield, it was called Wing. And I really liked that one. I think like the, because we would, a lot of the sitcom sketches that I did with Kyle and Dave, and Kyle was like, he's really obsessed with this period, and it would kind of come from his brain and how much he would watch these sketches, and he would share them with us, and we would like come up with, you know, stuff for them. But I really liked Wing because I think it really worked really well, and that was a little different. It wasn't on a soundstage; it was shot more like a internet video or something, but it had all the audience sounds. And then the one I liked after that would probably be the one, let's see, we did with Chris Pratt. And then, like, sorry, now I'm like naming half of them.
What about the Ryan Gosling one?
The Ryan Gosling one.
That's what I was thinking.
I love that one. The reason I think I hesitate, I think that was like a sort of like everything coming together, like the sets, the looks, like everything really like elevated it. It's almost like we did a couple of them and they were like, they gave us more money to pull off our idea how we like really wanted to. And then we were laughing so much. We loved the edit. And then it went to dress and it died.
Do you want to explain to the audience? Because it was sort of a dark premise, if I remember.
Okay. So, yeah, it's Kyle. Wait, I haven't like even thought about it in a long time. But like Kyle wants to be cool. He's Dougie. And it's based on this Family Matters episode where Urkel becomes Stefan.
Right.
You know, the
right,
Stefan
right,
stuff.
Right.
So he goes in this cool machine and he
Kyle
comes.
Does.
Yeah, Kyle does. And he comes out and I think he turns in from Dougie to Duguay. Wait, no. wait, what? It's Duguay. No, Duguay. I think it's Duguay instead of Dougie. Anyway, it's been a long time. But then I'm forgetting the end, but there's like a drunk car crash.
Right. And doesn't Ryan Gosling's character die?
I think he died.
And you guys come back in and you're like, he died.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, let's party. And there's like a scene where, like Kyle becomes the cool guy at the party. And Ryan Gosling's like, whoa, cool, man. And there's like a dance where the whole, where everybody dances.
Like kind of the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a video where like Lauren came to set and it was like, everything going good. And it was like, yep, everything's great. And then at dress rehearsal, people were just not responding to it. There was like no laughter. And then it still went online. And I love it. But
did it not make it to air? It just went online?
It just went online. Yeah, it didn't make it to air.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think for me, the Wing, I mean, I like those first three a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, this is The First Todd, debatable but not really, and you're listening to How Did We Get Weird with Joan and Vanessa Bayer. Now, a word from our sponsors.
And we're back.
Nice. That was so smooth. That was like,
thank you.
It seems like you guys have been doing this for forever. Like the back and forth is just, I mean, well, you guys grew up together. So
we grew up together, but it's intimidating for me because you two are obviously such kind of high energy performers.
Jonah, so rude. From some of the world, some of the country's greatest punk bands in America is Jonah Bayer.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I laughed because I was telling the truth. I laughed for fun, enjoying the moment, not because I was kidding.
Okay, well, I'll take it. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I know what you're talking about. I understand what's happening.
Now, Beck, you were saying something very sweet during the commercial break.
Aww.
Who is like one of your favorite people to see at your wedding?
Oh, that's interesting that you bring that up because I have said that one of the best guests was you.
Yes. That's why I brought it up.
Okay, for the listeners and for Jonah, I don't know if you've heard this. Vanessa was a fantastic guest.
I have not heard this.
Oh, really? So she like...
No.
she showed up in a fun way. She like showed up in a car, and like me and my brothers were there in the parking lot of this venue in like the Redwoods in Northern California. And she was like hanging out with us right away. She was like, she always had a smile on. So, cause as somebody who's getting married, you like to look out at your guests and see them enjoying themselves. So a lot of people would just be like, for people who can't see, that's not a smile. That's like a, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to talk to you. And you're like, oh no, I hope they're having fun. Every time I looked at Vanessa, it was like, she's having fun. She's talking to people. She was like present. I think also the other thing is that a lot of people are like, oh, it's your wedding. I want to get out of your way. I don't want to talk to you. And Vanessa yeah, was not doing like that. And it's great. You want people around you because it can feel like you can feel so separated from all these people that you want to be interacting with. And I think they like are trying to be respectful and give you space and not talk to you, which is like not what you want, which is something I've done at weddings too. But, you know, but you were a fantastic guest.
Thank you. I kind of fed you.
You fed it to me. But I was thinking, I was going to say it. That's why I came on here. I wanted to tell people. Okay, also, I have so many photos to show you. You're in so many, like, you're like, you're just like talking to people and you'll be like expressions like this. Like,
what Beck is doing right now, just so you know, is he's mid talking with his hands up, which I do gesture a lot.
And like halfway through a blink. Like,
yeah, halfway through a blink. Very flattering. Well,
okay, yeah, next topic, different
thing. No. I took us a little off, which I'm happy I did because I wanted everyone to know what a good guest I was at your wedding.
Absolutely.
It's important.
Absolutely.
But also, you know, obviously our podcast is about nostalgia, so we asked you to come in with kind of an idea of something nostalgic that you wanted to talk about.
Absolutely.
And you gave us just, you know,
an amazing list of
commercials and toys and products. Mm-hmm. And the one that we settled on that we were really impressed that you had thought of was Lean Pockets. When you want a hot deal, you got a deal.
Really impressed. That to me is like, you are impressed that I thought of that, but it's almost like, wow, we're really impressed that you thought of that for nostalgia. Because it's like, that isn't necessarily a nostalgic thing. It's something that exists now. It's not like something from, I mean, a lot of those things from our childhood still exist.
Right.
But I don't know if somebody would be like, oh, remember Lean Pockets?
Well, Beck, I have a couple. I mean, why Lean Pockets over Hot Pockets seems like the obvious choice.
Of course. That's like, yeah, that's what everybody gets excited about. Lean Pockets are kind of meh, meh. But that's what we were allowed to have in our house. My mom was a health nut. We had like the healthy choice, reduced fat stuff, you know, non-fat, all that, which was like a huge, which that is nostalgic because that was a huge craze in
Snack
the 90s.
Wells.
Yes, Snack Wells. Yeah, that was the thing that people, all these diet foods. And so we were allowed to have Lean Pockets, and I like that was like the best healthy snack that we were allowed to have in the house. So like after school, having a Lean Pocket was amazing because like that was about as far as I could get in the house, you know, like closest to what I wanted, which was like fake cheese and like basically, you know, a little pizza. I think we had the ham and cheese ones.
Got it.
And not the pepperoni, although sometimes we did. And like, it was just, I just remember those little, the pockets that they, the microwave sleeve that you would put it in, like put it in for 2.5 minutes. And I would take that Lean Pocket and like watch some TV after school. And that was that gooey little pocket of cheese was like really, I don't know. It was just the height of after school snacking for me, you know, and like which combines with like the TV shows and like, yeah, it's like that seventh grade, eighth grade, because it's also kind of an adultish snack. You know, it's not cheese and crackers, I guess. It's
right, like, right, right, right.
It's like the sophisticated version of the healthy snacks that we were allowed in the house when I was a kid.
What makes it healthier than a Hot Pocket? Do you know?
That's a good question. And I did want to do a little bit of research on the Lean Pockets before I came in here, but I didn't. I came in here blind.
I think they're just lower in calories. Like, I think it's just what they put in them is they're just like, there are certain there. And there's, I looked this up, there's 7 grams of fat in them, which remember in the 90s, like we didn't really think about, I don't even know. Honestly, I don't know if they're lower in calories. I just know they're lower in fat. And that was the thing in the 90s was like, you could have as many calories and as much sugar and stuff as you wanted, but you just couldn't have grams of fat in it.
Right. Which is so, which is so wrong, which is the opposite of what people say now, which is like fat is healthy.
Yeah.
There's good fats and they help you. And
Well, Beck, we have some bad news for you.
Bad news
for
you. Oh,
God.
And that is that Lean Pockets were discontinued in 2020.
Oh, shit.
Now, if you're mad.
Oh, my God.
If you're upset, Beck, you are not alone. If you go on the Hot Pockets Facebook or Twitter, people are furious.
Oh,
people
my God,
are
good.
So mad.
They should be.
Yeah.
Like, what did they, is there a reason out there for why they discontinued?
I guess they were not bringing in enough sales. But Hot Pockets apparently went up a lot during the pandemic. People were loving them, but Lean Pockets just, it didn't work.
Wow. That is so sad for all those people who still depended on Lean Pockets for their healthy snack. That is, I mean, it makes sense because that whole, I feel like in the past couple of years, the health trend of healthy fats or whatever is like, you know, maybe they just don't make sense anymore and people just aren't buying those things to like if they're trying to stay in shape or something. They're not buying Lean Pockets to stay in shape anymore.
Our producer Doug just said it's number three on the list of best products discontinued, which must be a pretty recent list because they were just discontinued.
Yeah.
I wonder, Doug, who made this list, you know?
I also have a bit of a conspiracy theory because Lean Pockets and Hot Pockets are owned by Nestle.
Yeah.
Nestle also owns Lean Cuisine, who makes Lean Cuisine pizzas.
Oh.
I don't know. Seems a little bit weird.
But what
weird
is the conspiracy
me.
Theory that they own all three?
No, maybe they wanted to push these Lean Cuisine pizzas. So they were like, we don't need to compete with ourselves.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe like the way that they're making the Lean Cuisine pizzas, the profit margin is higher. So they're like, discontinue these pockets. We want the regular pizzas.
Exactly.
No calzones.
I think like it's, I read something where like in 2011 or something, they realized like they weren't selling as well. So they cut out the kinds of the certain Lean Pockets got discontinued because their dough, there's like more dough in them. So they're more, maybe it was like the calzones or something. There's more dough in them. So they're more expensive to make, which that dough doesn't seem super high end.
No. Yeah, by expensive, they're like, this thing costs 5 cents to make and it's too much. We can't afford it.
Yeah. It's also, there was a Philly cheesesteak Lean Pocket, which did you ever try that one, Beck?
Yes, I did. I remember that one. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was all right. It wasn't my favorite. I like the cheese and ham.
Yeah.
Because that was a big thing that I still like and loved as a kid. And I didn't put this on the list because I loved fake cheese. Like I loved like American cheese and we were definitely not allowed to have that in the house.
Really? Even this Kraft Singles?
Yeah, no. Absolutely not.
Wow.
Your mom, so ahead of the game.
I mean, so ahead of the game.
Everyone was just eating crap back then and no one knew.
Well, to be fair, Jonah, and I don't want to throw our mom under the bus. She was very healthy too. We mostly had healthy food in our house.
Yeah, we had a lot of pizza rolls though and like...
And that's okay. That's okay. Yeah.
Well, I guess I didn't even notice it because Jonah was the only one who ate that stuff. I guess in our dad.
Jonah was the only one who ate that crap.
Do you remember at what point our dad was going to buy a gyro company?
Yes.
like Euro?
Euro,
I mean, some people say gyro. I don't
know. I don't know what the right pronunciation is, but he was going to buy this company that made them. So he got tons of the bread and the sauce and the meat in this freezer we kept in the garage. And we had like a year's worth. And I would just make them all the time.
That's amazing. That is a dream.
We had so much. And I remember I tried to stay away from them because they seemed unhealthy. And I remember once making it. And just the bread alone, like the quote unquote pita, was like so, it was like so oily. It was just like this big, like it was so great. We had like a year's supply of it.
I mean, you eat one of those, you wash it down with a peach Snapple and you're good to go.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool. Like, just like to be the kid in whatever grade you are to be like, yeah, we got a year's supply of Euro in the fridge. You want
it
one? Like that is, you are so cool.
Jonah, we never really talked about how crazy that was. We had so much of it. We had another thing that our dad almost did, and I remember telling Ingrid Olsen about it on the bus, is he almost, at one point, this is very brief, he almost bought like a franchise, like a regional franchise of, I think it was Baskin Robbins or
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
And I remember being on the bus with Ingrid Olsen, and I was like, this is a secret, but my dad might buy Dunkin' Donuts. And she was
the
like,
whole thing.
And I was like, yeah. Because I thought he was going to buy all of Dunkin'. Like, I thought we were going to be like, really own Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Well, he was going to have to go to this donut university. You have to go for like 3 weeks or something to learn how to actually make the donuts.
Oh,
like
right.
The whole, you have to get up at like 2 a.m. Like, he learned the whole
process.
Time to make
the donuts.
Yeah.
That's nostalgia.
You have to go away.
He was going to have to go every year, right?
Yeah. Something like that. But you know what's so crazy is the Dunkin' Donuts he was going to buy was in this town called Solon, Ohio. And I hung out at this Dunkin' Donuts when I was like 15, 16 with all these punk kids. We would like hang out outside. And this is how long ago it was. People used to smoke cigarettes inside, and it was like a bunch of teenagers.
Wow.
And they banned indoor smoking because smoke was getting into the donuts. And we thought, kids were like, this is fascism. You can't tell us not to smoke inside of a restaurant. This is insane. Like, it was such a foreign concept to not be able to smoke inside of like a restaurant.
Right. Where they are making, where they're making food. Yeah. Just filling it with smoke.
Yeah. It's also so funny because my friends would all go to this place called Coffee and Creations that was like, had like cappuccinos and lattes and stuff. And that was like, I feel like so dorky to you, but you guys were going to Dunkin' Donuts, which feels like kind of...
Yeah, it sounds like cuter, like the pumpkins at Dunkin' Donuts. Because it's like, that is a bakery. That is a cute pastry shop. Like my friends would go to like a big cafe and get like fries and grilled cheese and coffee and smoked cigarettes in like a booth.
Right.
Ooh. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, yeah, I never did that. I wasn't a smoker. But
where did you go?
I don't know. Like, honestly, I think in high school, I was so, and I haven't fully unpacked this, but like, I was always busy after school. I was always like play rehearsal or practice for like a sport I was playing.
Did you go to college for theater? Did you go to?
I did. I got my Bachelor of Fine Arts, a BFA, in acting at USC.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a trained actor, trained dramatic actor.
Whoa.
Drama. I went to London for one semester to study Shakespeare. Yes.
Oh my God.
You went to the Globe?
I went to the Globe.
Wow.
And I studied there by myself, no teachers.
Okay.
Just found stuff.
I
found plays and I just spoke them on the streets of London, like Shakespeare of old.
You are such a good actor, Beck. And it makes sense that you are classically trained in London.
In London, England. In that right, chap? Yeah.
Some of us can do accents and didn't get to do it on the show very much.
You do great accents.
Come on.
Yeah, look at that. That was so British. Right, governor?
And then going from the thing, but to go back to your high school / middle school place you hung out, it sounds like, you know, Jonah was at Dunkin' Donuts. I was at Coffee and Creations. You were at home having a lean pocket.
I was at home having a lean pocket in like 7th and 8th grade. And then usually after that, like high school, I was like never home.
Yeah, you were never home. Oh, you were never home. That's right. That's right.
I don't think I had if anything, it would be like Friday in front of the school.
Yeah.
Like maybe hanging out and seeing where people were going.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I would just, and then going to somebody's house.
You know, Jonah used to, when we would get home from school, we had two TVs in our house. We had one in our living room and one upstairs in my parents' room.
Cool.
And Jonah would, and I would want to be in the living room going on we had a treadmill in the living room. Jonah would be like watching TV in the living room. And I'd be like, Jonah, can you go upstairs and watch TV in mom and dad's room so that I can run on the treadmill? And like, I would watch like music videos and like, I'd basically, it would be my, okay. And he would be like, he would be like, only if you make me a snack. So I'd have to like make him, like if we had lean pockets at that time, it would have been so much easier. So I'd have to like make him a sandwich and like a whole thing to get him to go upstairs.
I mean, that's actually like, that's really sort of decent sibling behavior. It's like, yeah, you know what? I will do this for you, but you got to give me something. Not like, no, I'm not going to go deal with it. Idiot.
The TV upstairs was a lot smaller in my defense. I'm not saying that was the right way to handle it, but I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it was different. It was a different viewing experience.
Yeah, and I think that's decent. It's like, I'm gonna sacrifice my viewing experience for you. Let's make it a little bit better. I'll get a snap to go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're real. Jonah's coming off pretty great in this.
Yeah.
With the day.
Not Man, sure what a I've... nice guy. Yeah, I mean, what kind of snack would you make for him? Like, what was the classic snack? Just a sandwich?
I think it was usually a sandwich, right, Jonah?
I actually don't really remember this, but it doesn't. I totally believe that this is what happened.
I bet there was some kind of a Hot Pocket or maybe pizza rolls or something.
I like those rolls. Red Baron pizzas. You remember those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those are really good.
Yeah. Those still exist.
Those still exist?
They still exist. I like DiGiorno was my favorite kind of pizza. Frozen pizza.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I mean, obviously the DiGiorno commercials are very, very well
iconic. Known.
Iconic.
Because it's they're basically like, it's the same as delivery.
It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
Is it?
Well, I'll say so.
But Jonah and I were looking at the Lean Pockets commercials, and the premise of them is all the same, which I don't know if you remember it, which is basically that there's a guy eating a Lean Pocket, and then his wife or partner, who's a woman, says, honey, did you see my Lean Pockets? And then the guy is shocked that what he's eating is actually a Lean Pocket and not a Hot Pocket. But he's enjoying it so much that he hides from the woman and acts like he's never seen it.
And he's always doing something very masculine, like fixing the pipe, plumbing. Yeah.
Now, the logic is not, it's so illogical. I was saying to Jonah earlier today, like the idea that this guy doesn't know at first is shocked to hear that he's eating a Lean Pocket when he had to open the box that says Lean Pockets, look at the instructions, see how long he's supposed to microwave it for. And eat it, and he's surprised. Like, was he closing his eye?
Okay, good.
No idea. And also the idea that, like, it just so Jonah was pointing out, it's just so like it's so weirdly like gendered that it's like only it's the woman's Lean Pocket, and the guy's like eating it by accident, but he's enjoying it so much that he has to hide from her.
Yeah, right. Like guys, it's like okay, guys, to eat a Lean Pocket,
yeah,
like
okay.
You can still be a man,
right? And it's also like it's saying like this is for women. Like it's still like going towards women, being like this is for you women, but also like guys, pretty cool too. Win-win for both of you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Look at that cheese and meat coming out of that pastry dough puff thing.
Okay, so see, she's looking for it. She can't find it. He's under,
and he's in the drain.
He's fixing the sink. He's under the sink eating a Lean Pocket, which just like do one then do the other. Like you don't have to do everything. Have Come your on. Snack after you fix the sink. So he's under there and he's like, I can't believe it's a Lean Pocket.
Right.
And then it's a commercial for a Lean Pocket and he's like trying to eat it really quickly and he's pretending he hasn't seen it.
Oh my
She's
God.
She's looking through the drain. She sees him. She's like, knows what he's up to.
Right.
There's another one where the woman for the meatballs and mozzarella, where she's looking all over the kitchen. He's sitting in front of the TV and also it's like... Also, she's like shaking the box. She's like, what happened to the Lean Pocket? It's like, well, there's one other human in your house. Figure it out.
And it's like, and there's almost kind of two things happening. Why is he hiding it? Because he doesn't want to get caught. But that doesn't have anything to do with, he's not like, oh, I'm not a chick. I don't want to be caught. Right? That's not what is being insinuated.
It's like, these are her Lean Pockets. Like she bought them.
They're for the woman.
For her. And
the Lean Pockets are for the woman and for the guy to be a little sneaky little bastard and take them away from her.
Like the guy's not just like, oh yeah, this is actually pretty good. Like I was hungry. We didn't, you know, he's just like, nope, haven't seen him around. Like, I'm just going to lie. Just going to lie to your face.
It's like the women are like I could see women being like, look, I bought the fucking Lean Pockets for myself. And the ads are telling husbands it's okay. They don't buy them. He's too embarrassed to check out with the Lean Pockets. So I have to buy the Lean Pockets because I want them. And then he eats them. They're really setting up a problem here for a married
they
couple.
Really
or any sort
are.
Of couple trying to cohabitate.
My biggest issue, though, is the fact that the guy acts like he didn't know they were Lean Pockets. Like he's genuinely surprised when she says, like, where are my Lean Pockets? And it's like, how did you not know you made them?
There should be something else in there commenting on how dumb the guy is. Like another thing. Like really like nailing it home. Like a little button. Like
Like I ate the box or something.
Yes.
Or like,
Yeah, he ate the box. Like, I love, yeah, that would be good.
I also want to do a shout out to my fans about the Totino's commercials, which obviously there's some overlap.
Yeah, definitely right? Some overlap. And I'm in those commercials.
You're in those commercials.
Sketches. Yeah.
But those are kind of making fun of the gendered thing of those snacks. But those are the pizza rolls. I don't know if pizza rolls, if Totino's ever came out with like a diet pizza rolls. And sorry that I said I wanted to do a shout out to my fans. I was saying it as a bit, but then I didn't follow it with like a strong enough like thing for it to seem funny. So it seems like I was saying that seriously. And
I think you should be able to, in this podcast, you should always be able to say shout out to my fans and reference something that you've done or been in or inside thing. And you never have to explain it. That should be like a calling card. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I give that to you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Commercial.
We'll be right back with the favorite of all time, Beck Bennett.
Yeah!
Welcome back, Beck. Now, are you ready?
Thank you.
And Jonah, how are you doing? Just wanted to check in.
I'm doing great. I'm really excited for this next segment you're about to introduce.
Yeah, me too. I don't even know what it is. Let's go. Let's do it.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a game with you called Nostalgia.
No-stalgia.
Or yes-stalgia.
Yes-stalgia.
Okay, and we're going to bring up nostalgic products, shows, etc., that are kind of making a comeback now. And if you're into them, you're going to give them a
nostalgia.
And if you're not into them, you're going to give them a
nostalgia.
Okay.
And wait, how do you say it? Stalgia? Stalgia.
I say stalgia, but you can say stalgia if you want.
That's my Chicago coming up. Stalgia.
Yeah, we're from Cleveland. Stalgia. So we love a Midwestern accent.
Yeah, a Sharp A.
A sharp. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, like Colorado. Or like, I guess those are O's. I don't know.
All I remember is that when this one woman was selling our house, I can't remember her name, but she was selling our house and she left this message on our voicemail of my parents' house that had such a strong Midwestern accent that we saved it and we listened to it all the time. Because she was like, she would say stuff like, my bleak beag. And she'd be like, yeah, I think the house is going to, like, I can't even do the whole thing. But it was so funny that we saved it. We played it over and over again.
Oh, that is so fun. I miss that about, like, voice machines.
Answering machines. I know. You could just save someone's message and listen to it and laugh.
Yeah.
I think our parents still have one. Anyway. Okay. So the first thing that is making a comeback is Dunkaroos. Dunkaroos, the small cookies with the miniature tubs of dippable frosting, are back.
Yes-stalgia.
Yes-stalgia, right?
That's a yes-stalgia. I love Dunkaroos. Love them. They were hard to find. The dipping area for the Dunkaroo is so deep. You have frosting left over after
your
cookies.
It is really deep.
It was deep, like versus the Ritz, which I loved with the little red spreadable knife that came in it.
The little Ritz
crackers. The cheese dip, I could have used more cheese dip.
Yeah, Dunkaroos did. It was a really deep well of frosting. And, you know, they're bringing back the same exact ingredients. They're not changing anything.
Great.
So same cookie, same frosting. They went away in 2012, which you may or may not know. They disappeared in 2012. So they stayed around for a long time.
They stayed around for a while. I knew that they disappeared.
They disappeared in 2000. Now, they disappeared from Canada in 2017. Why, you ask?
Yeah, why? What happened?
Well, because I guess the U.S. part of General Mills was really pushing healthier snacks. So they were like, but apparently this has been in the works for a while because people have been furious. I mean, assuming that it's going to be the same with Lean Pockets. It's like if people give you enough guff about your snack going away.
And now people have a voice with the internet. They can rally together. Get a petition going, change.org.
Yeah.
Get on there and make and get their snacks back.
And get their snacks back. And apparently there was a tweet that Kim Kardashian did a couple years ago where she was like, I miss Dunkaroos so much. And they used that to when they were saying they were coming back, which that's, you know, if you want to have a great company and a great and do a great job.
Yeah.
You got to have that marketing element. You got to be now. Even bring back something from the 90s. That's great. We miss it. But make it now. Yeah. Use Kim Kardashian and everybody's happy.
Yeah. Put her on there. All you need is a tweet from Kim Kardashian. She gets any snack back she wants. Just say, I want this snack back and tweet it
by
out.
By the way, take it. Smart move by Kim Kardashian. Now she's probably got her home is full of, she probably got a year's supply of free Dunkaroos.
Oh my God. When I see that show, Jesse will watch it. And like, Jesse, my wife.
Who I love.
The glass containers that they have with Oreos stacked up. Have you seen?
Oh, I don't watch it regular. Yeah.
It's like so many bags of Oreos in there. It's crazy. And it's like, you don't eat those cookies.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, maybe it'll be so many things Dunkaroos, but we won't know because the show's ending. And so that really stinks for everybody.
That really stinks for the Dunkaroos resurgence.
Jonah, and how do you feel about it, Jonah? Are you...
I never really ate them, but I feel like... I think it's, yeah, I mean, why not? I like the fact that they're not changing them. I like the fact they're just bringing it back. They're not trying to add like quinoa to them or something. They're just
keeping it, you know. Kale in my frosting.
I like just bring it back. Keep it the same.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah, I think that's right. You're less of a sweets person. So I think it never was like a huge snack for you, but I like that.
You know what's interesting though? I've gotten more into sweets as an adult. Like since I've kind of like, but yeah, you have too. I never really cared about it in my 20s, and now I feel like I'm always the one with my wife. Like, we should get ice cream, or like we should, you know, like
wow,
I'm more into it now.
Shocking.
Yeah, like I love like a little pastry with my coffee. Like I like a little dessert.
Yeah.
Jonah, way to catch up to the rest of the Bayers, because we've been eating desserts for years. Jonah would always be like, I don't want dessert, and we'd be like, is he from his family? Okay.
And it'd be like maybe at the restaurant, you'd be like, go sit over there with another family. Get out of here, Jonah. You don't get to have dessert. We're a dessert family.
Or we'd be out in New York when I was living in New York, and Vanessa, we'd go to like a store by NYU or something. Vanessa would be like, oh, Jonah, do you want all these cookies? You want 4 cookies? These are for you? You really want these? And I'd be like, yeah, this is what I want. Yeah, she'd be like, I guess. I don't know how he eats like this.
My first few years on SNL, I lived in this building that was really like basically on NYU's campus. And so I would go buy snacks at this bodega that was all students. And Jonah, we'd be like, oh man, we have to go study. This sucks. And I'd be like, Jonah, you want to buy all these cookies for studying? And I was like, okay, if it helps you with your homework. And then we'd buy all these cookies. And the whole time I'd be talking about how they're for him. I just did a similar thing. I still do it. I was I had my first Levain cookies in New York, and I was there briefly, Beck. I didn't see you there because I knew I'd see you there here.
Yeah,
and
that's okay.
And I was with our you know Merica. Do you know Merica?
Yeah, I know Merica. Yeah,
we were there, and I was like, Merica, what? Which cookies do you want? You want 3? And I like got just for me.
And she's standing right there.
She's standing
and you're
right
like, you
there.
You want 3? And she's like, no. It's like, okay, I'll get you 3. Yeah.
She was like, yes, Vanessa, I want that. And I was like, and Merica, do you want this flavor too? And she was like, yeah, I do. I've been really lucky because all my friends and family who've done this with me have really played along.
Yeah, that's a really good move. I'm going to try that in the future.
It's really fun.
The Vanessa dessert hack.
Exactly. But I do feel like, the NYU thing, I felt like if we were in this space, we had to pretend we're students, even though we're so much older and everyone, I'd be like, need some brain food. And we'd be like, oh, I got this final exam tomorrow. It's going to be so hard. And we'd talk super loud.
Like, these guys are up to something.
What I thought you were going to say is, I remember I would order in Insomnia cookies and I didn't, which were like these delivery cookies that you'd get like in a pizza box. And I didn't want people to know it was me in case they like recognized my name. So I would order them to Jonah Bayer at my apartment. So it would always, so if anyone was like suspicious, they'd be like, if they ever took the time to think through it, which I think it was just all stoners who worked there, but they would be like, oh, Jonah Bayer's ordering 24
and we
cookies.
We saw Vanessa, but her brother was there ordering them. if it was like a full pseudonym, like a fake name, they'd be like, she's embarrassed about the cookie ordering and she's ordering on a fake name. But this is better.
Yeah.
So what about you, Vanessa? Yeah, that's a nostalgia for me.
Yes, I love Dunkaroos. I love Dunkaroos.
Love them.
All right, great. So next one we got, this is an interesting piece of news, a little punk tie-in, actually. Horror fan aficionado Rob Zombie is directing a Munsters reboot. He announced this on Instagram. He wrote, attention, boils and ghouls. The rumors are true. My next film project will be the one I've been chasing for 20 years. the Munsters. Stay tuned for exciting details as things progress. And then I made this joke that looks like he's been chasing something called shampoo for the last 20 years as well.
Good one, Jonah.
Thank you. Although, to be honest, I was a huge White Zombie fan in the 90s. I did see them do this co-headline tour with the Ramones. I actually really do like White Zombie, so I feel kind of bad about that joke. I think he actually has a pretty cool look, so maybe I'm just jealous that he has so much more hair than me.
I know there's legal rules around using songs, but did he sing the song that went like this? More human than human, more human than human. That's probably all I can sing.
I think that is so far from what the song sounds like that we could definitely use that. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's more human than human. They had that Thunderkiss 65 song that dun 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 dun. They had a bunch of big songs in that era. They were actually a very cool band. And then he's had a huge solo career. But Beck, what do you think of, and he's also directed a ton of horror movies.
Oh yeah, a ton.
Yeah, no, I saw the list of horror movies, and I'm not a horror movie person. I don't see them. Although Beck, I think I saw Get Out with you.
Really?
Yeah, I think we saw it in theaters together.
Oh, that's right.
And that was one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. Because I really highly avoid scary movies. I did like it a lot. I thought it was great.
I like movies like Get Out, Cabin in the Woods, Drag Me to Hell. Like, I like...
I just made a face.
Of course
you said Drag Me to Hell.
They're horror movies, but they don't rely on gore.
Yeah.
Some of them might have a little bit, but it's like they're creative and they're genre-y more than horror, I would say sometimes. But yeah. I was like in a movie theater. Oh, I miss the movies. Remember the movies? And I was there early or something, you know, walked into, I think the, like, something rejects, Hell's Rejects. Yeah. And I watched some of it and I was like, it made me so uncomfortable. It was kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre style. And I was like,
yeah. His vibe is more like, I think, like the really gory kind of classic.
Yeah.
Horror movies. So Beck, did you ever watch the Munsters growing up?
Never watched the Munsters. And so that's I gotta say it's a nostalgia for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't do anything for me. You know, I might like it, but it's a nostalgia for me because I didn't watch the Munsters. Don't really know what they are.
I realized, and they were saying there's going to be an Addams Family reboot from Tim Burton, right?
Yes.
Too. So I always confuse the Munsters. I always assume they're the Addams Family, and then I realize that they're not. And what a great story.
What a great story to have to like bring up to the pod. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good point because apparently the Munsters and the Addams Family, the Munsters only aired for 2 years, but the Munsters and the Addams Family aired at the exact same time.
Oh.
So they almost had like the same premise at the exact same time. So it's understandable why you'd confuse those. But I think the Addams Family is a lot more kind of popular as far as like its impact on pop culture.
Yeah.
Although when I was really excited when I looked up the Munsters that the Herman Munster, the dad, was played by Fred Gwynne, who was the judge in My Cousin Vinny.
Oh.
Who was so good. I don't know if you guys remember that, but he was so good in My Cousin Vinny.
He's so good.
And so what a storied career. And But yeah, I don't know that there's like a real appetite for the Munsters, especially like if an Addams Family reboot is coming up. But I wonder if it will be similar to like Rob Zombie stuff in general, where it's like he has his following of people who like.
Yeah. And is it a TV show or is it a movie?
It's a movie, I think, but it's going to be on. They think it will be on Peacock because of. It's owned by like something,
some studio,
by Universal.
Yeah, I think I'll have to tone it down. So maybe it'll be, easier for like mass consumption, I guess. I think his movies are a little like, I know he's this movie, House of a Thousand Corpses. I think his movies are a little more fringy, but I think his fans, I mean, I think it fits his whole aesthetic.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about two kooky, spooky families. And I feel like with Rob, he might go more spooky than kooky.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know, what makes it work is the balance. And the family dynamics of the kooky spooky. Yeah.
I also wonder what took 20 years for him to be able to do it.
I would love to see you ask him like that. I wonder what took 20 years for you to do this.
I wonder if it's a licensing thing.
I don't know. We should have Rob Zombie on the show for sure.
Oh my God, that'd be great. Yeah. Talk about it. That would be a scary episode.
Yeah. I worked with him. I didn't work directly with him. I worked on an award show that he was a part of, but I didn't get to meet him. But I got to work with the singer of Slipknot, who gave him an award.
Oh, okay, cool. Was Slipknot nice?
It was Corey, the singer for Slipknot. He's very nice. He's very kind of... he's written a bunch of books, too. He's a pretty... Yeah, he's like just kind of a mild-mannered, kind of regular guy you'd never know.
A lot of punk people are, right? Metal people.
Yeah.
You know Jonah's friend, Jeff Rosenstock, who's a musician. His sister, Kim, who's a friend of mine, always says, like, Jeff is, like, one of the nicest people in the world because he gets a lot of his, like... any of his like aggression or whatever he gets out in his music.
Oh, yeah. That's
which Jonah could say the same thing about you. Who could be a more gentle soul than my brother Jonah?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Jeff's newest record, No Dream, is a great record as an aside. And he just put out a ska version of his record called Ska Dream, where he re-recorded all the songs, ska versions.
Wow. Yeah. That's wild. 90s music is coming back.
Yeah, for sure.
Big time.
So just to recap about this Yes Nostalgia. So we got a Nostalgia from Beck.
Nostalgia from me. Jonah, what do you think?
This is kind of hard for me because, like I said, I am a fan of Rob Zombie. I'm not a huge Munsters fan, but I'm curious what he would do. I'm going to go with Yes Nostalgia. I think I would check this out.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, now our last and final thing that's making a comeback is Micro Machines. One of the most popular toy car lines from the 1980s and 90s, Micro Machines is making a comeback. The line of toy cars and sets is returning for the first time in 12 years. Beck?
I'm going to say, that's a nostalgia. Whoa. I can't believe I'm saying that. I want to say yes to nostalgia. But for me, I'm like, first of all, I ain't going to be playing with no toy cars.
Right. Okay? It seems like we're, I don't know that we're asking if it's like for you personally, but go ahead.
And I also think that like, when I was a kid, I remember there was like one, like, wait, Hot Wheels or Mini Wheels? Mini Wheels.
No, so, Micro Hot Wheels and Micro Machines.
Wait, what are we talking about?
We're talking about Micro Machines. So they were competitive with Hot Wheels and all that stuff.
And did they transform?
No. I don't believe they did. So for like 2 years, Micro Machines were more successful than like Hot Wheels and all the other ones.
And they were
Micro
smaller?
Machines were the tiny ones, and this guy, John Machida Jr.
Did the voiceover, who spoke
really fast.
Yeah.
And actually, we looked at a picture of him today. He looks a lot like our dad.
Really?
Today.
Wow. Yeah.
The original
And
Todd.
Also, he won a Guinness Book of World Records for like fastest talker. And then his record was beat in 1990 and 1995. And he has said like, I think on the record, he's said that he doesn't believe, he thinks there's like, he's not sure that
he questions the legitimacy.
Legitimacy, which is very like our dad when he questions the legitimacy of people saying that they were named Todd before. So there's like a lot of parallels with our dad and that guy. But those are the tiny ones. And actually, they tried to bring them back for like different movie releases and stuff. And people only like them when they're like the classic cars. That's like what makes them the most.
Oh, okay. And do they have like a little track that they fly on, or are they going solo?
Yeah, that's the big thing with them is that like they have this set, they have this world called, sorry that I wasn't a big dork growing up, so I don't know this, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But they have this world called.
I'm looking at them now. Oh, you know what? That's a nostalgia for me.
Whoa.
I take it back. I like little things. I mean, we all like little things, right?
Cute.
There's a show right now, the show that's on TV about like little sets and stuff. I think, I would be into this. Ooh, Micro Machines, Super Van City playset.
Super Van City. That's the name of it. Yeah. Super Van City, people were really into. And so they're bringing it back. That's part of the reason I think people love Micro Machines is because they came with these sets.
Yeah. I think I'm into that. That's a yes. I mean, like my first thought is that like I would rather play with Legos, I think, as a kid, and I still like Legos, but I think Micro Machines are a nostalgia for me. I think that's fun. I like little worlds And the big sets, like the Micro Machines, or not Micro Machines, yeah, but Hot Wheels, whatever, those sets, I don't know. Doesn't do it for me. I think that they're too big to really have fun with them. But when something's smaller, it's cuter.
It's so cute. And that guy talking so fast, I really associate him with Micro Machines.
Yeah, yeah. What about you guys? Are you a yes or no nostalgia?
I'm a yes nostalgia, but I don't have kids at the moment that I know of. Just kidding.
Right. Not a, you might have kids.
That's not a joke that women can make.
They might be out there somewhere, but I don't know. I think it is a joke that women can make. I think it's definitely a funnier joke than the guys making that joke.
In some ways, it's very similar to the thing in the Lean Pockets commercial where the guy's like, these are Lean Pockets? It's like, yeah, you made them.
Yeah, you would have to know if you had a child. You would know.
I would make them. Anyways. I would think the only thing that I would say about Micro Machines is I don't really know exactly how small they are, but I would be worried about them being lightly a choking hazard for it. Like they might be kind of a little bit of an issue with small kids.
See, and I worry about them being also a hazard for the tripping parents of the children, stepping on them like all over the house because they got wheels and they're moving around.
Yeah.
So there's that. You know, there's that.
But I think overall, I would say yes, nostalgia, because they are very cute. And look, that guy is still around. And I'm sure he'd love to prove, if he's anything like our dad, he'd like to prove that he can still talk really fast. Oh,
but what if he doesn't have it anymore?
Ooh.
He does.
Oh, he does. He's got
probably
to.
Been we practicing see him come back. This whole time.
I want to see him come back more than anything. I want to see that guy, that voiceover artist, come back.
I think he's doing great. And he looks so much like our dad.
And he looks so much like your dad.
Which I guess he always in some ways did. But he's really grown in to have a similar look. Now, our dad will hear this and look him up and maybe, I don't know what our dad's reaction will be. Jonah, what do you think?
Is he nostalgia or nostalgia?
I mean, he's basically like a guy without a lot of hair with a mustache, which is basically what I look like also. So I feel like we can just fast forward maybe 40 years.
Jonah.
It's a similar kind of look.
Jonah. I really hope your dad looks exactly like you. That would be awesome.
But I would say I'll give it a yes, nostalgia. I mean, I don't feel super, super strongly about it either way, but sure, why not?
This kind of feels like a medium nostalgia, a maybe.
Yeah,
a sure.
That's how I feel
for all of us.
I think like this is going to make me sound maybe kind of judgmental, but I think at least it's like an actual thing kids will play with versus like a screen or something. Like at least you're sort of moving around using your imagination, you know, not having technology do all the work for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. What I would like, which I feel like is never really like all those, like I was looking for like Hot Wheels toys for my nephew and stuff. And I feel like they always have like a very specific track. But what I think would be cool is if they could have a track sort of like Legos where you could build a track and like have this whole set and like put a car at the top and see it go through the whole course. I think that would be really fun. So if they're listening, I don't know, that could be a really good idea.
I do think that Super Vans World or whatever, I don't know.
Whatever. You weren't a dork growing up, so you wouldn't
know. It has a thing where, I do think it has a cool thing where like you open it up and it's almost like, you know, like when you get those like cards where it's like you open up the greeting card and it's like 3D. It's like, yes. I think they have like, yeah, that's what it is. It's called pop-up. I think they have sort of pop-up worlds in a cool way. Now, I don't quote me on that, like when you're buying it, because I might be wrong.
I heard from Vanessa Bayer.
I'm quoting Vanessa Bayer. I have a quote from her that says that these pop up and there are all sorts of different worlds. Well,
guys, that's what I said not to do.
But also, she's not sure because she wasn't a huge dork growing up. Do you guys have that stuff? That's going to happen, and you're going to get in trouble on the internet. They're going to come
after you. You know what's going to happen? I'll probably get free Micro Machines because I said nostalgia.
Yes. And you're going to become a micro head. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Oh, brother. Oh, sister.
Well, that's what we should say at the end of our podcast.
Yeah, you should say, Vanessa, okay, you should say, brother.
Let's try it.
And then you
oh, brother.
Oh, sister.
That sounded religious. That sounded good. Like sort of like Quakerish.
Yeah, it sounded too much like Quakery. Yeah, I agree.
I agree.
I agree.
Well, Beck, this has been just a delight.
Well, Vanini, I have had so much fun. Jonah, Janini, this was an absolute pleasure. You guys are sweet, smart, funny, warm little hugs.
Hey, Beck, we're rubber. You're glue. Whatever you say bounces off of us and lands right square on you.
Works for me. Well, thanks for having me, you guys. This was so fun.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much
for being here. Thank you to everyone who listened. Thank you to Beck.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Now, everybody, please keep a lookout for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we'll discuss more stories from childhood. And Jonah, is there anything you want to say about Lean Pockets?
Yeah, RIP Lean Pockets. We're going to miss you.
RIP Lean Pockets. Thank you for all that you did for me in my childhood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful.